The 40 minutes for the discussion about diversity is up, and I think everybody's had a chance to speak, and I started to hear people repeating themselves a little bit. So I wanted to move on to the second theme for tonight, which is management and finances at the station. The station is hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. There's been troubles with recent fundraisers. A lot of people are concerned about where things are headed, and this will be a key issue that the new board members will have to address. And I was actually going to ask Kathy, since you were formerly a chair of the board, if you wanted to kick off the discussion.
Well, first of all, I want to remind people that the people who tried to take over this network left us with a huge, unbelievable debt of something over $5 million. I just want to remind everybody about that. That we may shoot ourselves in the foot sometimes, but somebody was shooting at the head of this organization, and the national board managed how we got out of that. Truthfully, I can't imagine. It's such a remarkable issue. What? So that's one thing. I don't know enough, frankly, about the way that this. In fact, we had asked, I don't know what happened to it, so I'll reiterate it now. I thought that Don Rojas was going to meet with the candidates to describe to us in detail where the finances of WBAI, and I think that should happen as quickly as possible. So that's another thing. I was very upset when trying to get nominating petitions signed. My friends and I went to lots of activists, lots of radicals, lots of people who we know who do all kinds of wonderful work, and they were not members and they are not listeners, and even if they listen sometimes, they do not support the station because it is not serving the purpose that it should. So this is a very complex question. How do we change the station? What do we change it to? What are we going to be offering to people that they really need? Is it an organizing mechanism? There are lots of questions that very seriously have to be answered, but we have to do something and then let people know that we're making changes so that people begin to listen and really get it.
Okay. Allison, your slate, one of your key planks is Broadcasting Democracy Now twice a day. Could you talk a little bit about why you want to have that happen?
My name again is Herb Williams. And yes, as far as Democracy Now! Being broadcast later in the day, it's a simple one. And that is, I think everyone recognizes that Democracy Now! Is like the flagship of programming for WBAI, and very, very relevant, serious issues are discussed on that particular program. However, in the morning, when many people are at work and don't hear it, we think many of the people need to hear that particular program. In prime time, when I'm saying something, you know, between 6 and 9 or something of that nature, but we believe sincerely and strongly that station need to be more listener heard throughout, you know, the listening population here in the New York area. So we strongly, again, believe that should happen.
Sure. Real quickly.
Yeah, again, Alice Shields on the People's Radio Slate, and I'll just add a couple of other points that Herb and others of us have talked about on our slate, and that is, what would rebroadcasting Democracy Now! In prime time in the evening do? One, it obviously, as Herb said, would allow many of us who work during the day and can't listen to hear this, to me, life-changing program, like many programs on BAI have changed my life. But it would also accomplish another thing, and that is drawing more people into the station, because Amy, manages to get that program out there and has marketing techniques we don't use on BAI. We can learn from her and maybe from Gary Null. Both these people get their stuff out there. I'm not talking about content in terms of Null, but they're people on our station with from whom we can learn their marketing techniques to enlarge our listenership. Well, whatever. They're people we can at least study. We don't have to use their techniques, but we know that some people on our station have techniques, and most of us don't. So we can enlarge our membership. We can potentially increase our fundraising. Thank you.
I just want to quickly say, no, we are not advocating a rebroadcast of Gary Null's program. That you just meant. I want to make that clear.
Four times a week is quite enough. All right. Yvonne or Ray. You
want to
introduce yourself real quick? And then
yes, I'm Joshua Walensky, and I represent the listener slate, meaning I'm an independent candidate for LSP. Now, Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Have been very active in growing and expanding. A few days ago, they moved to the first floor of the firehouse, and I was there, and I can tell you that the facilities there are larger than the current facilities at WBAI. And if they get some more funds, they'll even perhaps be able to build two floors. And if they build two floors, this will be a plum in the basket of independent media, not only here in New York, but throughout the world. So Democracy Now! Is doing a lot of things to help itself. And in helping itself, it also helps WBAI. There's just one thing I want to really bring up. Someone asked about programming before. There's nearly not enough women's programming. We need more women's programming on WBAI, good women's programming. We need all the disabled programs to be divided. People in wheelchair have one set of problems. People who are blind and have hearing problems have other problems. So even in areas which we believe we cover, we have failed. I think with what Democracy Now! Is doing and with really applying ourselves, we will be able to achieve getting more listeners and increasing our funds and popularity. And I think the Bush administration, with its draconian measures, is driving more listeners to us every hour and every day of the week.
Patty Heffley, you've followed the workings of the station for a long time and have been critical at times as well. Would you like to talk a little bit about some of your ideas about how the station could improve its finances and what it might need to do for programming as well?
Yeah, I'm Patty Heffley. I'm running on the listeners. Part of listeners and staff for Progressive Elections at WBAI. As far as the finances go, I think there's a lot that can be done. First of all, I've been involved since 1996, and no one, to my knowledge, has ever seen the books. And this is outrageous. All through the time that they would ask during the beginning of the of the time they would ask, and the manager would you just wouldn't get them. Once the Christmas coup happened, after that happened, the board came back. The board that has been there ever since never asked about the books, ever, until this last board meeting, when one of the members of the board was outraged about the deficit, and they said, "Well, where's the books?" This was a local advisory board, of which some people are running still for this board now, have never looked at the books. candidates. So anyway, so what can be done? First of all, there's an extremely large amount of paid staff at the station. Pacifica used to be a volunteer organization. It needs to return to volunteers. It must return to volunteers. That would save lots and lots of money. I think that not only that, there has to be, the books have to be put on the internet. Itemized salaries, who gets paid, how much they get paid. There needs to be a proper process of employment, how people get the jobs, who and if they're qualified or not. There's so much cronyism over there. Jobs are not they're not advertised, or they're posted and then they don't follow through, and then the temporary person just gets hired, or they actually jump over and just pick somebody else. I mean, there's no process. The problem of the finances at Pacifica and at WBAI can be solved by actual process and actually accountability. And when there's a problem, that there is actual accountability. And that is, I think, we can do that. Volunteerism, open the books, put them on the net, details, who gets paid, who doesn't get paid. And I think if we can do kind of that stuff and start being honest with the listeners, that we might be able to get money. There's a fundraiser coming up in 2 weeks again. We've had a perpetual fundraiser for about 2 weeks, 2 months, in October and November. The idea right now at the station is to just keep asking for more money. Always drain the listeners with no accountability. So I and my fellow List Prog people are for straightening that out, like, right away, or we'll have no station for any progressive chatter or anything.
Ray, you've been on. Okay, or Yvonne? Yeah.
Okay, hi, this is Yvonne from Justice and Unity, and I'm not. This is Yvonne from Justice and Unity, and I'm not sure if we mentioned our website, which is www.justiceunity.org, and our information hotline is 212-591-2111. I think that it's really, I think we agree with the ideas that have been mentioned here in terms of looking at Democracy Now! For ideas on how to do fundraising and development, and also to look at other Pacifica stations or public radio stations and see how they deal with the issues of fundraising, and also who gets paid as a staff member and who doesn't get paid as a staff member. Why should we reinvent the wheel? It's easy enough to just approach other radio stations and ask them how many paid people do you have. And I think what Patty talked about in terms of having open books is extremely important. We need to emphasize that everything should be open to the membership and open to the public as well, so people's paychecks should be posted up on the internet website. I think we also need to, I know Justice and Unity is also very interested in working on long-term strategies, and last week Don Rojas announced the new position of a development director, so we'd be very interested in setting up a fundraising committee to work on long-term strategies on how to fundraise with this new director, as well as working on short-term strategies that might alleviate some of the short-term crises, like why is there a low fulfillment of pledges, and why are premiums not sent out, you know, after weeks of sitting in the station. So there are things I think that we can do both short-term and long-term that will alleviate the fiscal crisis.
Yeah, I obviously agree with that. I think that what we're dealing with is a whole panoply of problems that we have to address on all levels. I have a lot of respect for Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! And the work they've done. However, I think I would oppose bringing this show or any other show mechanically. First, Democracy Now! Is affiliated to Pacifica. It's no longer part of Pacifica. Second, to put them in the afternoon means removing individuals who occupy those hours right now. So I would like some serious discussion as to how to proceed first. Third, suppose they decide to leave for whatever reason, what do we learn? What I'm interested in is duplicating the success. What made, the conceptual notion of creating Democracy Now! To begin with, I'd like to go back there. I'd like to see under what condition this can be done. So, and that's it. That is how I would approach it. Now, okay, fine. And I like to say, though, that we did ask repeatedly, and that the key difference between the old board and new board is power. It's a board that is advisory, and a board that really has teeth now and can really comment things. Now, one of the last point, I could make many more, but one point that I'd like to make for sure is again that we link reaching out to people, so that for us the outreach is connected to our finance, meaning that we want 10 times more people as members of Pacifica, as listeners first of WBAI, and as big a proportion of them to contribute. So that besides using the official, the traditional thing of having good accounting practices, that what we want is the city of New York, the working people of New York, to be listeners and active participants in Pacifica and WBAI.
You know, you raise a lot of important questions, but it's really much more complicated. You can't just say we're going to go to volunteerism. If you think that the professionalism of Democracy Now! Could be done by volunteers, I really disagree with you completely. It's not that a volunteer... I mean, you cannot depend on volunteers. You need a paid staff. I'm not saying everybody should be paid, but I'd much rather have volunteers sending out the premiums than I would have doing all of the on-air. We need to professionalize some of what's going on in this station. You really want to hear somebody that you can... I mean, I listened to Harry Allen, I think his name is, who's on Friday or Saturday. They're remarkable people doing remarkable programming. But you cannot always depend on a volunteer operation. Second of all, I really don't agree with you on this issue of open books. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be open. There should be a budget that's available to anybody and everybody at the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year, or whatever. But a lot of people are not going to work someplace where their salary is posted on the internet. I mean, it's absolutely not... It's not done by any nonprofit. I think the board has to look at it. I think that there has to be a way of doing this, but I don't think that you post that stuff on the internet. If you want to see some real trouble for this kind of a progressive station, then do that.
Okay. You can introduce yourself. Hi, my name's James Ross, and I'm a candidate on the list, the listeners and staff for Progressive Elections Slate. That's the list prog slate. And actually, I think this discussion has been very interesting. People have said most of the things that I think as well, so I'll just add a couple of more things. I agree basically with what Kathy started out this discussion with. You know, there's a whole complex of problems at the station, and the symptom is the current financial crisis. So we have to think both short and long term and how to deal with that. I wonder, to get to the issue of paid staff, you know, how many people are being paid. My understanding, it's hard to find this information because the records for previous years are very difficult to find, but based on stuff that I've read and stuff that I've heard, there's more paid staff now than there was, say, in 1995, 1996. I don't believe that I don't know that the programming is any better now than it's then. So I think that is one thing we need to look at. How many paid staff do we need, and how many can we support, and make sure that the most important positions are indeed paid, so that there's so the people that we need the most are definitely on paid staff. And let's see, one other point I would like to make is that, as far as fundraising goes, I think it's very important for Pacifica's editorial independence that it does get most or all of its funding from its listeners. I'm not sure what would happen to our station if we relied more and more on grants. I don't believe I want to go in that direction. And there was one point I wanted to make, but I forgot what it was, so I'll stop there. Thanks. Real quickly, and then I want to open up the discussion to
Okay. Well, I just want to quickly say that while I can agree with some of the things about Patty was saying about more budget and financial disclosure at WBAI, but I have to agree with Kathy in putting people personal finances, salary and so forth on the internet. I think the board has some responsibility to know what those finances and look at those books to some degree. I agree with that. But putting them on the internet, that's another story again. But I do want to say more about expanding the finances of WBAI and raising money in more creative ways. For example, once this board is seated, I do believe in the committees that's made up of the listening population. And the listening population have some very good ideas that they can bring to this board. And when you do that, you are also expanding your listener base. You are bringing in more finances when you open up the process to the listeners through creative ways of committees that can work with the board and that can be created in each of these areas of finances and so forth.
I wanted to open up the... we have a few minutes left for audience questions. So if you didn't get a chance to ask a question in the last round, I want to make sure and get to you this round. Did anybody have any questions about finances or programming or how the station is managed? All right, we'll start with Sylvia and then...
My name is Sylvia Arana. I am a member of the Indie Media Center and also a WBAI supporter. As a member of the BAI community, I have worked with a group called the Colectivo Latino to improve the diversity of the programs at BAI. We work as volunteers and we prepare a four-part pilot program in the Spanish language. And it was extremely hard to get a continuity to that program to transform the four programs into a permanent program at BAI. And the process was extremely hard and difficult. And I wonder who of you has an interest into Spanish programming in BAI, considering that the population of New York City is more than 30% of Latinos. And I didn't hear anything about Latino programming other than Miguel's input, who I can understand because he's a Latino. And that's my main reason to be here tonight. I would like to hear from the candidates what would they do to include Latino programs in BAI in Spanish.
Right. Alice, you seem very eager to.
Yeah, one of our program suggestions on the People's Radio Slate is to immediately.
One of our platform statements is to immediately include at least 1 hour. Start with 1 hour of Spanish broadcasting a week for news, et cetera, to try and in some way serve this enormous part of the New York area community. And so that's one of our things. That would be news gathering and, you know, news reportage in Spanish. And to my taste, though this is beyond our immediate proposal on this slate, there are other huge communities who speak Chinese of various sorts, and I wonder if in the dim future, not now because it's so complex, but this kind of bilingual or unilingual in a different language programming couldn't offer enormous service. So that's one of our immediate, those small proposals, is 1 hour a week immediately. Thank you.
Ray?
Is it on this time? Sorry. Okay, I turned it off to spare you the noise. Actually, you're right, but this is Rella Forest. I don't believe we had mentioned any specific communities. I do know it's extremely difficult. For example, I was instrumental in formulating the ideas behind the Haitian collectives. Although as a board member, I stayed away from its implementation. I believe you were present when you brought the idea of that show, a bilingual show, Latino shows, to the local advisory board, and I was present, and we voted, I believe, unanimously to support that, and we sent that vote to the general manager. So again, to me, it's a dynamic process that is, for us, it's natural. It is truly natural. We want the Latino community to be part of WBAI, so we want Latino programming, and that is the, by the way, it is not outreach that does bring communities to a station like Pacifica. It is programming. However, the outreach is what makes them listen also. So we understand that. So in a way, what you're asking us is an intrinsic part of what we want. And we want it for all communities, which is a voice to be represented both in the case of the Latino community in a different language and in English also, dealing with business. I remember that Panama Elba, who's a legendary figure in the Latino community, was an athlete, say that the Latino community unfortunately did not participate in numbers commensurate to its reality in New York, in the fact that we gained Pacifica, because they never heard themselves on Pacifica. They never heard themselves in true fashion on WBAI, and it's time we change that. It's in our own interest to begin with.
All right, Kathy?
You know, again, I think it's a very complicated issue that you're raising for a few reasons. One is, I mean, this is Kathy Goldman, but Alice mentioned that there are many other communities, and New York is becoming very diverse now, even more so than it ever was. You have a lot of South Asian families and so on. What I'm interested in is I'm not coming out against Latino programming, but what I really am interested in is that the entire community should hear what it is that the Latino community wants, so, and what the problems are there. So I would be, I don't know how we do it, but I think there's got to be a way to find, for example, maybe there should be a series of programs about education and the various communities, whether it's a disabled community or whatever, you know, different language communities, different types of communities, how are they being affected on that issue or on tenants' rights or whatever. So there's, you know what I'm saying, we could divide up the 164 hours and give them to different language groups or other groups, and then how do we get the cohesion? How do we develop a movement?
Can you answer that? Just super quick.
Yes, we heard that even at that meeting that Ray was mentioning, that even Ray said, how would you deal with the 60% or whatever that doesn't speak Spanish in that hour in a week? And our answer at that time and now is, if you want to reach communities that, like, we are talking about a huge amount of people in New York that whose main language is Spanish and that don't speak any English at all, in Long Island, in New Jersey, in the metropolitan area. So how do you want to reach the Hispanic community without a single program in a so-called progressive station in Spanish?
Okay, real quick. I too support the institution of a one or a 2 hour Spanish language programming. This is James Ross, and I'm running on LISPROG. This is not a LISPROG thing. This is just what I have on my own personal statement. One reason to select Spanish language as opposed to any of the other non-English languages in the New York area is that the population that speaks only Spanish and not English is much larger. I believe it's 4 or 5 times larger than the population that speaks any other language, any of the Chinese languages, and not English. So they would be, and I believe this effort should also be monitored, because if there is a huge loss of our regular listeners due to this one program, you know, maybe, you know, you have to weigh the cost and the benefits there. But there is a big potential benefit of reaching a population that's not reached.
Okay. Do you have any other questions from the audience?
Okay. I'd like to just get back to the issue of finances, and I noticed that in the other questions, the representatives of the incumbency, and in this case it's Ray LaForest, who's been sitting on the local advisory board and is a member of the national board, and is in fact is in the majority on both of them, and the faction that controls that, and is has good relations with the people who are basically running the station. How is it that WBAI is now $1 million in the red? And what did you do on your watch, and this, remember this happened on your watch, what did you do on your watch to warn the members about this impending fiscal crisis?
Right, give Ray a chance to respond.
Ray LaForest.
Well, yeah, Ray LaForest. Well, first, I'm clearly on the minority on the board on many issues. I worked very hard on Plan B, which failed. On the station, local advisory board, by the way, I'm not the only person who's an incumbent. One of them is on Newslate. Well, to deal with issues, though, one of the basic problems that we're facing right now is that every single progressive institution in the country is facing difficult financial situation. When a war such as the one that the military action initiated by the Bush administration, once it starts, people rush to find solutions, to find answers. And every single station under within Pacifica, every single progressive, even NPR, registered a tremendous increase in support. As the case starts dragging on, which is happening now, and there are no easy solutions, people get discouraged, they momentarily, hopefully, pause, and they walk away. This has happened repeatedly. These are the first time BAI and Pacifica are facing this problem. The second problem we have with our form of fundraising is that it's almost like Hollywood, where you as good as your last movie, meaning that you're as good as your last fundraiser. So at the same time that you know that people have tremendous support, that you're planning on what you're getting, and from the time we get the station back, the revenues kept increasing tremendously each time. The only role that I played as the board member is to vote on a budget that approved some of the changes. We recommended, for example, on the board that WBAI acquire a development director, which they have never had. And to me, these are the questions. Second, as I said earlier, the powers of the local board are extremely limited in terms of access to information and be able to implement changes on the level of their administration.
Okay. Quick response from Patty. And then we have one more question for this section. We're just about out of time for this section.
I think that there was, whether or not the local advisory board had much power or not, it did not use even inquiry powers that it did have. As far as the problems with this, there has been no oversight. If you actually took in the pledges that were called in, sent out the bills for the pledges, if you actually then sent out the premiums that the people actually paid for, there might be more money. But the disrespect to the listeners constantly through the not even bothering to send out a bill and then hollering on the air, there's a $1 million deficit, like we're to blame, and the premiums are not sent out, is a total lack of respect, and that will lose a lot of money, as well as the a lot of the other nonprofits like Channel 13 and WNYC had record fundraisers through this whole time. So I think that WBAI is doing something very wrong, and that must be addressed and changed immediately, and that's through accountability, and the local station board will have some power finally.
I want to take a question from Joel and Mitch, and then we're going to wrap it up for this section.
The finances and the questions that Sylvia Arana raised about the Latino community are very related. I think that the funding problem has a lot to do with whether the listeners feel they have power and whether the listeners feel they are a part of the station, whether we are really spoken to honestly and transparently about what is going on, whether the discussions of governance and finance are made public and whether we are part of them. I think this has a lot to do with whether listeners contribute. Over the past year, we have been told, thank you very much, but we have not really been included in what's going on. Listeners were not allowed to know for years what was the impending debacle, the impending threat to Pacifica, and now we are not allowed to even understand what the issues are. I think that we should think of ourselves as a community station, that salaries would be published anywhere, any public source, printed or on the internet. You understand that if you're coming to work for this station, you will be applying for this salary, or you will be applying for a volunteer position. This is understood. This should become the culture of the community, so that the community can learn to arrange its problems, arrange its power, and solve its problems. The balance of Latino programming and any other programming of any kind or any culture should become a matter of discussion of each community recognizing each other, recognizing the needs of each other, and trying to contribute to the protection of each other. This will contribute to the protection of the whole community. It really comes down to democracy and the public discussion. If people had faith that this community was really an agent of their freedom, an agent of their means to build a community to address the war, not just to be told where demonstration is, but to be able to address the war and address other onslaughts of the government and the power interests, and be able to build a means of community build a means to address these questions, we would be funded and we would be protected. And one other point I want to make is I think that the discussions that we are not allowed to have on the radio right now, the issues that the candidates raise, the issues of making a democratic community, the issues of building a community for the producers and the listeners, we have common interests. We should all be supporting these discussions. If these discussions were on the air for the marathon, they would raise a lot of money.
Okay, thank you. All right, Joel, you've been waiting a while to ask a question.
Yes, I noticed that an unusual thing happened here, that the spokespeople for the Unity Caucus and the spokespeople for List Prague both came out for this the open books idea in this discussion, and yet there were two other people, and usually we're like the most polarized opponents of each other. I'm a Unity candidate. Anyway, I noticed that some of the other people, the question is, since the government knows the salaries of everybody in there, and it has to be publicly audited, I believe, why can't the listeners also know basically how the expenditures are itemized?
Yeah, I am not talking about not having open books, but you can, and you should know how many positions you have, and the salary range for each position, and whether you're hiring new people or you're not. I mean, all the things that were mentioned, that Patty mentioned in terms of accountability, I absolutely agree with. But I do not agree. I ran an organization for 23 years with a lot of workers, and I think we aggregated their salaries. The board knew what the actual salaries were, but it was not public information in the way that this is being talked about putting it on the internet. I really don't think that's fair to people, and as far as I know, no nonprofit organization does that. I don't think any of the unions do that. I think it's really outrageous, frankly. As a worker, I would not stand for that. And I think that does not keep you from having accountability. The problem here is that they're hiring people. Nobody seems to know who's in charge. Nobody seems to know what they're doing. That's the problem, not to know that somebody's getting $15,000.
Right, okay. Last question for this section.
I just want to clarify something from our position.
Okay, real quick.
This is Riella Forrest. I do agree. As a labor organizer, I would fight very hard against having information pertaining to my members' status being released. So we're not trying to be reckless. However, I want to clarify that we do want open books. Doesn't mean that
we want every single salaries released to everybody. I can tell you right now, the level of discussion is so restricted that the managers almost rebelled against giving information to the board. You can't believe how bad this is. Recently, there was a board meeting dealing specifically with that, and the board had to say, listen, we don't want to hear it. This is our priority. This is part of what it takes for us to understand what's going on in the institution, and we want to have individual salaries. And it would be improper for anybody to release it, but we want them. So that being said, though, I think that in terms of... that this is information are information that pertain to individuals' personal files, and not only it would be improper to release them, and as you just implied, we could be facing lawsuits. There are lawsuits taking place right now. I'm personally being sued right now by the former manager of WBAI for the sum of, I believe, $13 million for having discussed issues as a national board member relating to his position at WBAI.
Right.
So this is real.
All right, Mitch, last question on finances and management.
Hi. As I understand it, most institutions, public, my name is Mitchell Cohen. I'm not a candidate. If elected, I will not serve. Most public institutions that I know of, state universities where I went and other places, do have categories of salaries. So you publish number one, the management positions, and all managers' salaries are printed, right? And so you know who the managers are, right? And no, those are specific, those are individual. And then there's a range for what type. If you're type one, type two, type three, you know, categories, and then different employees move into that category structure. So this is not beyond the pale, it doesn't seem to me, to have the categories at least listed and what the range of salaries are within them. I especially wanted to ask this of Patty, but for everybody else as well, but for Patty, because you were one of the people who filed the listeners' lawsuit that actually won us the elections, or contributed to winning the elections here, and in defense of the listeners very greatly. Do you think there should be listeners on the program council? Currently, there aren't any. And should programming decisions have input from listeners in a formal way?
Well, I think that the program... this is Patty Heffley from Listener Staff for Progressive Election. I think that the program council definitely should have some listeners on it. It should have some staff members on it. And what it should do, it should be able to come up with good ideas, be able to find outreach, find programs and things like that, and work with the program director to make sure that that it doesn't become so insular, that the people are not just programming to themselves, that there are some listeners and people out there that can give input about what it is that maybe that the community does need, and can critique exactly what is going on in the air, instead of this insular situation where nobody, just like someone said, oh, if we move Amy Goodman this place, someone will have to be moved out. Well, I'm all for it. I'm all for a transient situation. This should be a rite of passage programming. It should not be stagnant. People are there 25, 30 years. There's no room for the next labor person to ever be on there. There's no time for another person on almost any of these kind of programs. The Arab programming, the same persons for years. There's not another group of people or Arab collective or something that might also have something to say. This is just constantly the same thing. And I think that's the air is stagnant, and I think that may be losing listeners as well. So I think listeners on these boards could really help.
I just want to say Amy Goodman and Barbara Emery Aziz are not people I would call stagnant. But I want to But I want to also say very clearly that we have to revive the folio. We have to have a really good, progressive, radical magazine, which we had in the years past. And there should also be a section of a summary of our programs during the month, because people do go to work 9 to 5, and they don't have any idea that Esperanza Martel was on the air. They have no idea that Leonard Jeffries was on the air. They have no idea that Camille Yarbrough was on the air. Yeah. They don't have an idea that there was a lot of celebration of the 200th anniversary of the independence of Haiti. And if we put out this folio, and I don't care how much it costs us, I am for this folio, we have to have a summary of what we did each month. And of course, good financial records are an excellent idea. This is Joshua Walensky, independent candidate for the LSAB.
Everybody loves the microphone. Okay, real quick, I want to get one response from somebody on Justice and Unity and one from People's Radio. Then we're going to...
Hi, this is Kim Clark from Justice and Unity. I just wanted to respond to the question about listeners on the programming council. WBAI is, at least theoretically or rhetorically, listener-sponsored, right? You know, listener-supported. We throw around all these terms like, I don't know, the People's Radio or... You know, I mean, to me, BAI is a place where underrepresented voices, maybe the one of the only places that underrepresented voices can be expressed and can be heard and shared. So I feel that listeners should be an integral part of all levels, of all decision making, and that we also need to broaden our scope of listenership. And in order to do that, I mean, you know, like Kathy says, she ran an organization, you know, Community Food Resource Center, and I'm sure that she knows that in order to continue to build, you have to offer the people who you're reaching out to something in return. And that something isn't, you know, just tokenism. It's a real place at the table. It's being a real part of the decision making process, sharing that power.
Can I say something quickly? Quickly.
Yeah, I'd like to say
quickly. That. I think every KCD should answer that question, by the way.
Well,
because I think it's a key
say
one.
Something quickly too.
Okay. So basically I would say very quickly that I not only I support listeners being on the program council, I think listeners should be involved at every level, be part obviously of every single committee created by the local board. Personally, as a local board member, once we pressured the program council to allow two individuals to be present on the program council, because the local board itself was not represented either, we obtained those two positions. I introduced a motion to have one of those positions go to a listener. Unfortunately, I was outvoted, and it did not take place. However, I support having listeners being part of that body in much greater number than that anyway, and at every level of the functioning of the station.
Hi, sorry. I just want to say something very quickly. I also concur that listeners should be on the program council. You know, probably equal listeners and staff or something like that. I don't know. But the rationale for having listeners on the program council is that listeners have different concerns than staff. Staff, more than listeners, want to keep their time and their careers or, you know, their thing on the radio going. Whereas listeners, you know, we have our shows that we'd really like to hear. For example, the Democracy Now! Issue is going to be probably going to be listener driven if the time has changed more than staff driven, because it may displace other shows. So, you know, we have different interests, so we should both be present.
Yeah, I agree with much of what has been said. I think listeners should be invited to be on perhaps every committee that this new board establishes. perhaps 50%, perhaps even more, as far as I'm concerned, because this new board is comprised, as I see it, primarily of listeners. We are, or whoever it will be the listener representatives on the board. To that end, I think the listeners should be canvassed regularly, those who contribute, in whatever way is financially affordable by the station. Not everyone is online, but at least it can be done online. What are the programming issues that that listener contributor likes, dislikes, wants more of, and invite them, say, to be on a list of committees. Here are possible committees. Would you like to be on them? The new board probably should establish, just as local community boards do in our city government, that you have to attend a certain number of times on a committee, on a community board, say in Manhattan, to be able to vote or be a, you know, registered member. But there are ways of working those details out. I think this is essential, not just to get the programming better, to please us all, our various tastes and needs, but also for fundraising and outreach, because every person who is a listener member of a committee would be involving probably others in their lives, spreading the word. I think this is an essential thing, and I think we all believe in some version of it. That's Alice Shields of the People's Radio.
This is Kathy Goldman. I agree with a lot of what other people have said, but Alice, for example, if you're saying that there should be committees of the board, it's different from what Mitch asked. Mitch is asking if listeners should be part of the program council. And my question is, which listeners? The whole point of this election is to select people who are representing the listeners. So it seems to me that if you want to have anybody on it, it should be a couple of people from whoever are elected as the board. I don't know where you would find them. What, are you going to go out and send out the word, who wants to be on the program council? It doesn't work that way. That's the whole reason for doing it this way. And I absolutely agree that you have to have, I don't care how many people on committees, that's a structure where listeners can be heard. But the other half of it is that I think the board has to be required to go to community meetings. The board has to go out. You cannot just sit there. If I live in Manhattan, I better damn well get myself to the Bronx and get out to Queens and sit and listen to what people have to say. And whether we... Okay, New Jersey. Well, I don't have to go to Staten Island. That's... But... I'm just kidding. But, I mean, my point... All right. I'm sorry I dissed Staten Island, but... My point is really that it's incumbent on us not just us to hope everybody shows up or to be on the internet. We should be going out to community organizations, or we should set up sessions in New Jersey and every place frequently where we don't say a word. We just listen.